evening and welcome. You're watching We The People. I'm Rishika Barua. Allegations of sexual harassment, assault, molestation leveled by top actors of the Malayalam film industry have spiraled into an all too familiar Me Too movement in Kerala. Prominent actors have come out and put a face to the rot that pervades the entire system, thereby also emboldening many others to come forward and file official complaints. The Malayalam film industry's Me Too is a fallout of the Justice Hema Committee report that was submitted by the Kerala, that was submitted to the Kerala government in 2019, but it was buried. The report has now come out in the public domain 5 years later, and it paints the full picture of the systemic sexual harassment affecting women in the Malayalam film industry. The impact of the report has been significant. The entire Association of Malayalam Movie Artists, or AMMA as it's called, has been dissolved. Top actors have been stripped of plum positions. And 5 years after the report, the Kerala government has now formed an all-women SIT to probe the allegations. Several cases have been already filed and an investigation by the SIT is underway. But this is not the first time that the dark underbelly of show business stands exposed. It's been 5 years since the Bollywood Me Too movement and not one person has been convicted. Many cases made it to courts but were thrown out due to a lack of evidence. Bollywood actors such as Nana Patekar, Alok Nath and others were called out as sexual predators, but nothing happened. With another wave of allegations, with all these stories coming out, will they be buried as another blip in history, or will they lift the weight of impunity and catalyze long-lasting reforms? That's our top focus on We The People tonight. Joining me, Vinta Ananda, filmmaker and editor of The Daily Eye. She is one of those women who actually kick-started the Me Too movement as far as the Hindi film industry is concerned, leveling rape allegations against Alok Nath. We have Uma Sudhir, executive editor of NDTV. It's a pleasure to have Radhika Sarath Kumar, Indian actress and film producer. She's, of course, somebody who needs absolutely no introduction. She's been working in the Malayalam and Telugu film industry for over 4 decades. Sana Rais Khan, an advocate of the Supreme Court, and Janice Sequeira, host and creator. Janice is, of course, one of those individuals who was witness in the case against Nana Patekar as well. She's written extensively on this. Thank you all very much for being with us on We The People. Before I get in my other guest, Vinta, if I can very quickly come to you. You were one of the first women to, in a certain sense, speak out and trigger the Me Too movement in Bollywood. And today we are seeing this huge movement in the Malayalam film industry. Many say it's a more powerful one. How do you look at this?
No, certainly it's a very, very powerful movement. And hats off to the WCC, which has spearheaded and led this entire, seen to it that a report which was being put under the carpet, was pushed under the carpet, is being released, and there is a concerted effort by them to see to it that there's a national outcry over what, there's outrage over what has happened and what has, continues to happen. There's no doubt. But to me, it is like, you know, the media moves on, right, Rishika? And that's what happened during the Me Too movement as well. I mean, you can't deny that there was such a huge outcry, there was uproar, there was non-stop coverage of the media, and everybody was able to come out. There were so many women who came out and they spoke. But then what happened? You know, we need to dwell on that. There was, of course, the committees were set up and all those things happened which were necessary to place in the industry and have, all the companies and the businesses to have those internal committees and all of those things. But there's never been any action. I mean, all the women who came out, including me, it was very difficult for me to even legally take the case forward. Rest of the women as well, they've all gone silent because there is no point in going on saying that we need justice. You know, I mean, there is... It just is a repetitive rant now. So everybody's gone underground. Yeah. Nobody wants to bring it out. Nobody wants to talk anymore. Mm. And those guys who were named and shamed are back on the scene. Sympathy is with them. That's the tragedy. You know, the sympathy is with them.
You know, I also want to ask you, because legally this is complicated. You came out with your story 19 years after it happened. How tough was it? And how much harder does it become legally?
But that's where it goes in rest, right, Rishika? That's where it goes and places itself as to he said, she said. There is very, very little chance of any of the cases, even now, which have come out in the Hema Committee report. We are all going to stand by the women. We are all going to support them. We are all going to say what needs to be said. But at the end of the day, in the court of law, there is very little that can be done. I mean, and we are not doing anything to as a society or a culture to change those things. I mean, what we need to focus on are very different things now. You know, I have questions to ask. I have questions to ask as to why does our society continue to uphold a patriarchal mindset that objectifies and subjugates women, implicitly normalizing gender-based violence? What prevents us from accepting sex education in school, denying children the right to understand their bodies and concept of consent during puberty and when their hormones are raging? I mean, I'm really wondering, why are we not discussing these things?
Right. Well, thank you very much, for joining us. I want to quickly take this now to Radhika Sarath Kumar. You've spent over four decades, acting in films across various industries in the South. How are you looking at this movement today? It's being called the Mollywood Me Too or the Malayalam film industry's Me Too. But how do you really look at this movement today?
Firstly, I think the women who stood their ground in getting this moving forward is very commendable, because I know the backlash they faced, the shaming they went through, and having the report stalled for a couple of years till it came out recently. I see that as women who want to speak their mind and who want to say, yes, we've had enough of this.
Right. Before I get in the other panelists, I want to ask you from your own experience. When we were speaking earlier, you said that it's not just about harassment in terms of a physical assault or a molestation attempt or an advance being made. But you were recounting how difficult it has been, the working conditions, how difficult they have been, and what all you've sort of faced, on a personal level, whether it's the lack of changing rooms or toilets. Would you like to, share some of your experience? You've, of course, been a veteran in the industries, across industries.
Sure. See, when the Hema Committee came out, of course, I've not read the whole thing, but whatever just I have followed, I could see that how women were not given, facilities, and how it was difficult for them. They become easy prey where they're sitting together with men and somebody comes and, there are a lot of men who will make all these remarks and try to pitch their luck on what they can do. So basically, from 80s, I've been working since then. From 78, I've been working. Before that, of course, there was an industry. It was a different act. This is not something new which is happening today. It has been happening from those days. And those days, there was no communication. There was people didn't want to hear a woman's voice, even to say anything. I was considered a rebel because I used to speak my mind and everything. Although I come from a very well-renowned film person's family.
Yes.
My father was a great actor, M.R. Radha. But people were a little wary about moving, talking to me and everything. And since I was, I used to speak English and I used to be very fluent in what I want to say, they were very wary of me. So they always look for the easy prey. They look for the easy prey.
Right.
So when we came in, we've heard of all these difficult times. And when I came in, I was appalled. We never had bathrooms to, we used to have such dirty places to work in. We would not even have changing rooms. There's so many films today, even most of the actors, when they were congratulating me on my 46 years in industry, they were recalling the times where I used to go and change behind a tree, have people come and tie saris around, and we used to change. There used to be no toilets. There used to be, they would go to the somebody's house, village, to see if the toilet was clean and request them whether the actors can use the toilet. It was, for the men, maybe it was a little simpler for them, but for us, it was very, and we used to have this elaborate costumes in the 80s, the hair, the dresses and everything.
Yes.
So it was very difficult, and it has been quite a journey for me. And then, you know, we have the caravans, we have our personal yes. space, we know that we are there. But then I was in Kerala a long time back doing a Malayalam film. And, you know, these men were sitting and talking during a break. And I was just walking and I saw them looking at some video and laughing. And I just called somebody whom I know very well. I said, what are you laughing about? See, most of the men have videos of women changing in the caravan of actors.
Wow.
You name the actors and they have it.
Wow.
I was, you know, I used to be scared to go into a caravan to change. And I used to tell my assistants, check here, check there, do this, do that. But in the end, I said, hell with it. He wants to see something go and happen. I mean, in the end of it, we have to continue working and work is going on in full speed. But this happened. Of course, today I hear some actors saying, oh, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen in Mollywood. It doesn't. It happens everywhere. Let me tell you that. It has happened to me also. I can name topmost politicians. I can name actors. I can name anybody. But that is not the point today. I know how to handle myself. I know how to face. I know how to give back. I know how to put my foot down. And I think most of the women also need to know that. But beyond all this, it's not about, you know, targeting somebody and saying you did this, you did that. No. We as an industry... It happens in all industries. It's happening in a hospital. It's happening in schools. It's happening in colleges.
Yes.
But what I'm saying, every single place, we need to have a protected association. If, say, example, there was a singer who named a lyricist.
Yes.
If it is so, because we are a film industry, people tend to blow it up. They want the TRP there and they want to say, oh, this happened with so
well,
and so.
Well, I mean, at some level, I would say it's the nature of the beast. It's the nature of show business. You know, y'all are famous personalities. People know you. So when you come out and say something like this, it also carries a lot more weight.
Yeah, it does. So, but what would carry more weight in society is getting a sort of a finale to it, to get a closure to it.
Yes.
Maybe we have an association, we have a judge, we have somebody who's sitting there to listen it out, sort it out. And what is this you're asking for in the end? You're asking for an apology or you're asking for a conviction? Okay?
I think that's an important question.
We've read about Harvey Weinstein being convicted
for
his Me Too activities. It's not going to happen here, I'm telling you. They're all going to get away scot-free.
Well, you know, it's very interesting that both Radhika Sarath Kumar and Vinita Nanda actually said the exact same thing, that nothing happens at the end of the day. Janice Sequeira, I want to bring you into the conversation. You've of course been a witness as well to a Me Too allegation that was leveled in the Indian film industry. And you know, Tanushree, when she leveled that allegation, you bore witness to it as well. But I mean, let's face it. This isn't the first time that we are seeing a Me Too movement. And while it's grabbed national and international headlines and it's grabbed all the attention, the truth is nothing really changed from the time that you were a part of the movement 5 years ago.
I mean, Rishika, what has changed? I mean, so firstly, let's put things in context, right? Yes, I was a witness. And even I remember when Tanushree came out with her story. Initially, everyone, if you looked at it at that time, of course, Twitter, now called X, was just calling it a publicity stunt. They'd said like, oh, you know, she's been out of the public spotlight for so many years. She needs to get back on, you know, get work. She needs to be on Big Boss. She needs to be on a reality show. And hence she's saying that. And, you know, we have this tendency to not believe women when they come out with their stories. And in Tanushree's case, because I had been a witness, because I was on that set, and because I'd seen the sequence of events, and I think because also I was a journalist and I continued being a journalist for quite a few years, so, you know, earned a bit of a decent reputation that she's not someone who's flaky. But because I came and I sort of said, okay, you know, I validated her story and said, no, this actually did happen. And this is from my POV, as much as I can remember to the best of my recollection. These are the instances that did happen and she is speaking the truth. It kind of became that, oh, now we'll believe her because there was a witness. But in so many cases in the film industry, there are no witnesses.
Yes.
And honestly, where is the protection? I think Radhika ma'am raised such an important question that, you know, yes, we could go around naming the biggest of the biggest names and say this one did that. And I know that there is a secret whisper campaign, at least in the, you know, for the Hindi actors, a lot of us journalists and a lot of us media people, content creators, will actors will talk to each other and be like, be careful of this guy, be careful of this creep, be careful of this one. That's that secret whisper campaign. But otherwise, who is believing women? Where is the protection? And the thing is that even if we point fingers and say, you know, this big actor did this, because just like Radhika ma'am said, we all could tell you stories. And I'm not even saying that these are stories we've heard of from others. We've heard from the women themselves about the horrific things that have happened to them. But who is believing us?
Yes.
And the thing is that at the end of the day, we want conviction, right? Because the only way to put the fear of God and to actually change things on ground in every case, whether it's in hospitals, whether it's happening in villages, wherever, is to actually have conviction. When you start punishing them, when they know that they do not, they cannot get away with it, is when things will actually change. And first of all, also, I mean, I know it's taken a few years, but I do feel like at least with the Malayalam film industry, there has been a little bit of unity. There has been a little bit of cohesive voices coming together and speaking consistently. With the Hindi film industry, unfortunately, they only went after the low-hanging fruits. Tell me one big name that actually came out. Today you have, you know, the president of the AMMA resigning. You have, you know, all the big producers and actors being talked about in the Malayalam film industry. But in the Hindi film industry, can you tell me one big name that actually was spoken about? It was all the low-hanging fruits. And by the way, let me tell you that each one of those men is back at work and has probably now gotten more work in one way or another. This feels like the time, you know, when we're so fascinated with maybe a serial killer story.
Janice, did you face backlash? I just want to ask you, because you bore witness to Tanushree's case against Nana Patekar. Did you face backlash?
Can I be really honest, Rishika, and say I don't really care? If you're scared of talking to me because I speak the truth, I apologize for my cat wanting to be a part of this interview. I will put him away and receive my answer. But I'm saying that I really don't care. I think the one thing in life I've learned is that you can only speak your truth. Well, my cat insists on doing this. I am so sorry.
But I think you're making a very important point. I'd like to welcome your cat onto the discussion as well. But I think you're making a very important point that, you know, you at some level didn't care about what it did to your career. And I think that's the general feeling among a lot of women who have the courage to come forward. But for every woman that comes forward, remember, there are hundreds others who don't have the courage or the wherewithal or the support system in order to be able to do this. But Uma, if I can bring you into the conversation, you've covered this story extensively. You also understand a fair bit of backdrop as far as this particular movement is concerned. Janice raised a very important point when she said that it's very different from the way it played out, you know, in show business, whether we talk about Bollywood or Hollywood. It's very different. There is a fair bit of solidarity. A lot of voices have come out and at least heads have rolled. There's a report that's been submitted and SIT has been formed. Can we therefore prima facie assume that, you know, there'll be a lot more than just the dissolution of that actors association and perhaps we will see some concrete action? Or would you not go so far as to say that just yet?
See, the resolution itself is something that's been questioned now because it was not a unanimous decision to resign. At least two women there have said that we did not want to resign. Why should we all resign? It's not as though the Malayalam film industry is standing together to say that, you know, we don't agree with something like this and therefore we are resigning, something like that. No. Two things that I must point out. One, you know, whether convictions is something that all of us want, but many of this is over a long period of time and therefore getting convictions is probably going to be very difficult in this case. But what Radhika referred to, the normalization of this kind of sexualization of women, that people can laugh at you, people think it is okay for a group of men to sit together and do it. I think at least that we will start to question that and start to say that, no, this is not normal. This is not okay for you to laugh at some women or make jokes about her body or about whatever kind of verbal or other jokes that you may have about her. The big difference is, yes, instead of just something that was a social media movement or things that were not formally complained, the big difference is that this time you have not just the Hema Commission report. Of course, that brought the respectability and authenticity to the testimonies of all these women. Not just women, I'm saying there are men also who have testified there. So So that is very important.
Yes.
The second aspect is the SIT that's been done. And now you're having FIRs in each of these cases. FIRs cannot be dismissed just like that. Even though evidence may be hard to come by, but there is going to be evidence, like the way Janice was there as a witness in that. We have in the case of Tess Joseph, who has spoken about Derek O'Brien, a TMC MP, who she had complained to at that time when she made a complaint about the Kollam CPM yes. MLA and so on and so forth. The other important one that I want to ask Radhika actually is, does having women in positions of authority make a difference? Because Radhika is someone, for our audiences, if I may say, she's the Ekta Kapoor of Tamil or Telugu film industry. Yes. Because she knows not just all the film industries, but she's also someone who knows the small screen. She's been producer, director. Having a woman in charge, does that make a difference, Radhika? That is something that I think our audiences will want to know. Because all the time, when they're controlled, producers control it, financiers control it, the distributors control it. Even HEMA Commission says 15 men are forming that mafia.
Let me tell you something. I also put the producers to blame. Being a direct witness to all what has happened in the last 46 years, I'm still working, I'm still insured. For what happens, I've had instances where women come to me because they think I'm this strong person and, you know, I have this image of being a very tough person. They come and say, please help us. You know, this guy is misbehaving. It happens in television and I put a stop to it. If it is in my shoot, I will not tolerate it. I go to extreme. I will take extreme action against them. So they're very scared when I'm on the set. But the minute I go, I can see them all heaving a big sigh of relief. But what I'm saying is, it happens everywhere, but it is also, producers are to blame in the sense they are not giving provisions to these women. They are not making it a safe place. They are not having mandatory rules to keep such places for women to rest, to sleep, to change. They have to change in front of 20 men. If you take the dancers, today I want to ask the Film Federation, that is called the FEFC here, or Union of Workers, they're always fighting with us for wages, for insurance, everything. All that is fine. But why aren't they fighting for these women who are working under them? They are not fighting for them. They've
what about internal committees, Radhika?
I think the point that Radhika has made here, which is, you know, the fact that as a producer, she's put her foot down. I think that answers your question in a certain sense, Suma, and also raises a very important point that if you have more women in positions of power, that could perhaps catalyze change. I want to very quickly bring in Sana Rais Khan. She's an advocate of the Supreme Court. You've been listening in very patiently, Sana. Thank you very much. I want to ask you very simply, Sana, the legality of this. The reason why movements like Me Too often fail to see convictions or justice being meted out at the end of the day. Several panelists talked about, you know, these movements being examples, there being conviction, punishment, etc. is because these cases get thrown out of court because of lack of evidence. I mean, look at Vinta's case, for instance. She came out 5 years ago, but it was 19 years since she'd alleged rape. How do you prove something like this in a court of law when it's a he said versus she said?
Yes. See, of course, for these women to come out and speak against it is, of course, worthy of appreciation. But at the same time, I will emphasize on the fact that reporting is also equally essential. Prompt reporting is also equally essential because delay is a huge factor that always ends up in acquittal or bail. In the court of law, you know, evidence, you know, with passage of time, actually, there is a statute of limitation in most of the, in legal systems, they have statute of limitations, which are the laws that set the maximum time limit within which the legal proceedings may be initiated. But of course, for these cases, which are heinous cases, like cases of sexual assault, rape cases, they have longer statutes of limitation, but still, then there are jurisdictions where there might be no limitation at all. But obviously, because if the cases are decades old, then evidence may have deteriorated, or of course, potential witnesses may have died, or witnesses' memories may fade. So these factors, of course, play a huge role in acquittal. And
well, I think that's an important point to people who are watching the broadcast. That you know, while it's very difficult to come out and report. At the same time, you know, if you really want justice to be served and you want to see conviction, then it has to be done within the sort of ambit of the law. I mean, there are several questions that can be raised about that, but. Yes, Sana, make finish
up. Because the onus is always on the prosecution to prove a case beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yes.
Because that standard always has to be met for the accused to and for the perpetrator to be booked and actually be held guilty.
Very, very, very important point. I'm running out of time. Both Janice and Uma want to come in. Janice, you first.
I have a question for Sana because, you know, this was in Tanushree's case because I remember when the incident took place also, she'd gone to all of the producing bodies, the directors' bodies that existed within the Hindi film industry. She'd held press conferences and there was enough of footage and she tried to approach the cops as well. At that time, the case wasn't taken seriously. But all the footage, evidence, all the testimonies that had to be given, etc., were done. And then cut to back in 2018, we did it all over again, this time with me and two other witnesses. And yet the case thrown out completely by the Mumbai court.
Okay. So you're saying that despite all of that, Sana, do you want to answer that? That a lot of times even the evidence that's available isn't taken into consideration or considered not good enough.
Digital evidence plays a key role, like emails, text messages, because physical evidence in such cases is, of course, very difficult. But then again, like how I emphasize, delay plays a huge factor because there was no prompt reporting. If a person sleeps over a right for a period of 5 years, 10 years, then usually that goes against that person in the court of law, which always ends up in acquittal.
Uma wanted to come in as well.
You know, Sana is talking about delay in the victims coming out. One of the big problems I find in the film industry specifically is because you don't have the internal committees. Radhika can perhaps correct me about what is the prevalence of internal committees, because these women don't come out and speak because there is no mechanism through which their confidentiality is respected. So they have to be able to talk to an internal committee.
Yes.
Radhika, are there committees?
No, there's no committees. I've also spoken to a lot of people. And also, I think we need to take... See, in my all these years of service, whatever I've seen, we progressed up till here. Now, there is a fear among all these men. Oh, it can happen to us. We need to be careful. Now, they're becoming silent predators.
Right.
They become underground predators. Okay? So, now they're all scared. That's why you see a lot of silence. Nobody wants to talk about it. They don't want to talk about it because they don't know if their name will come there.
Well, all I can say is that there are several women who are talking about it. But like I said, for every one woman who comes out, there are hundreds of others who don't. But you've all spared time and been with us on an extremely important issue that concerns, I think, every woman and man out there. I can't thank you all enough for your time this evening on We the People.
Yes.
That's all the time we have in the broadcast. Thank you very much for watching.